3 o'clock hour, Burns and Gambo show live from the Auction Community Studios here on this Tuesday afternoon. It is a line that I think basically since the season ended and they lost to the LA Rams. Yeah, okay. I caught myself on that one. Since losing to the LA Rams is what the professional talker meant to say, that it's been floated out there basically ever since. Playoffs are bust when talking about Cliff Kingsbury. Now, some think that applies to not only Cliff Kingsbury, that it applies to other members of the Arizona Cardinals organization, but this is specifically a conversation about Cliff. In large part because of a story that was on Deadspin.com that kind of continues the playoff or bust theme for Cliff Kingsbury specifically. The headline, the Cardinals need a playoff appearance to save Cliff Kingsbury's job. That was the headline on Deadspin.com, a story that we've kind of been, I'm not sitting on, we just haven't had a great opportunity to bring it up with everything we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. You start looking at the betting odds coming out of Vegas and on some of the online gambling sites. Cliff Kingsbury is running like as
top
the third best bet to get fired before the end of the season. I think the only two that are ahead of him are Vic Fangio and Mike McCarthy of Dallas.
Just, I mean, a lot of things have changed. I mean, you don't have a lot of time as a head coach anymore. Like you get 3 years. A lot of guys only get Steve Wilkes got 1 year.
You're lucky if you get 3 years.
Yeah,
in today's NFL,
you don't get five. I mean, a lot of guys don't get five anymore. Like they want instant results. There's free agency. There's money. There's the draft. Like people feel like, hey, you need to rebuild this thing quickly.
Yes.
Now to Cliff Kingsbury's credit, he took over a really poor organization and had the number one pick in the draft. And, you know, that won, was it three games under Wilkes? And then they won five, and then they won eight. So you're trending in the right direction. It's just a late season collapse. Look, I think if they had won one more game last year and made the playoffs, this wouldn't be a conversation we're having.
No.
One more game. Think about this. They win the final game against the Rams. They go to the playoffs. Is Cliff Kingsbury on the hot seat?
No.
No! He took the Cardinals to the playoffs in his second year. We're talking a one game. That's why, like, I don't know that I'm on board with this. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I really don't know. But we're talking one win away from going to the playoffs, and he's not on the hot seat. He's a coach that took a team to the playoffs in his second year, for goodness sakes. So I think people look at the third year. I'm looking at Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan with San Francisco. First year, 6-10. Second year, 4-12. Took a step back. Third year, 13-3.
Mm-hmm.
Third year was a big year for him. Got him to the playoffs. NFC champions. Made it to the Super Bowl, right? I mean, that was a big year. He was 10-22 in his first two seasons, Kyle Shanahan. 10-22. What's Kingsbury right now? So Shanahan was 10-22. He's got 13 wins and 19 losses. 13-19, I think it is.
There's a tie in there. They were 13-18-1. Cliff Kingsbury is 13-18-1. That's fine. It's a tie.
I mean, that's a better record than Shanahan had after 2 years.
Sure.
I mean, going into the third year of Kyle Shanahan, I don't remember this. Was he on a hot seat? I mean, was he on a hot seat? He was 10-22 as the head coach of the 49ers. Was that third year the hot seat for Kyle Shanahan?
I don't think so. But, okay, the difference between Kyle Shanahan and Cliff Kingsbury is that halfway through that second year, Kyle Shanahan wasn't 6-3 and seemingly ticketed for a playoff spot. And I think that's the filter through which a lot of this conversation is being viewed, is that the Arizona Cardinals, when they beat the Bills, they're 6-3. And at that point, I remember clear as day doing that show with you on Monday, and we were both like, hey, you don't make the playoffs now, it's a big disappointment. You don't make the playoffs now, it's a big failure. You're 6-3. You just beat the Bills. You've beaten the Seahawks. You crushed the Dallas Cowboys on national TV. Not that that was an accomplishment, but you were one of the hottest, if not the hottest team in the league in that moment. And there was this expectation, man, if you don't make the playoffs when you start 6-3 and you're playing as well as you are, it's going to be a failure. And that is the lens by which we're judging all of this. It's not just the record. And I appreciate the Kyle Shanahan comp, but Kyle Shanahan, you know, if Kyle Shanahan had a 6-3 record and then blew it and didn't make the playoffs in the second year, he might have been on the hot seat going into that third year.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Kyle Shanahan
he might have felt that pressure going into the third year.
Look, I think there's pressure everywhere. I mean, I think there's pressure, for the most part. Is there pressure on Cliff? Yeah. The expectations are to make the playoffs. There's a lot of talent. They added J.J. Watt. They added A.J. Green. They had apparently a very good draft. From what all indications are, it's been a great draft for Steve Keim. So they plugged some holes. Every team's got shortcomings. So we could talk about the depth at corner or safety. Every team's dealing with some issues. We know that. So I do think there's pressure. I don't know. I think it depends on how the season goes.
That's the big word. How? Right?
Yes.
The what? What is, they make the playoffs or they don't? I do think there's a how factor in all this. I think generally speaking, if they don't make the playoffs, I don't think Cliff Kingsbury will be the coach next year. In a general sense, if they don't, I don't think he will. But the how they get there, the how it all happens, man, there's a lot of room for negotiation in the how. What if there are significant injuries? What if there's, what if this? What if that? But by and large, generally speaking, with the expanded playoff field, with one extra team getting in per conference, I tend to think if they don't get in this year, they will go a different direction.
Nine wins, 8 losses, they don't make the playoffs.
Was Kyler healthy for all those 17 games?
If the
answer is yes, then I think they'll go a different direction.
Fire a guy who in his third year got you 9 wins, and got you a winning record, and you're going to fire him.
I think that's what they'll do, yes, I do. Are you asking me if I think that's right or not?
I think.
Do you think that's right?
It depends on how they play.
That's why I asked about Kyler.
Yeah.
If Kyler's playing all these games and they only have one win better than they do a year ago with everything they've done in the offseason, mm-hmm. after going from 3 to 5 to 8, I tend to think there will be changes
Yeah. Do I think there's a scenario in which Cliff Kingsbury is back next year and they didn't make the playoffs? I could see that. I could see them having a good season and missing out on a tiebreaker situation to somebody that finished with the same. I could see a situation in which he's back and they didn't make the playoffs. If they win 5 or 6 games, then pack up the bags, let's get him out of here.
Yeah, Damian Woody was on the Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin show last week talking about Cliff Kingsbury. Wants to see why Cliff was hired in the first place.
A lot of people were scratching their heads when Cliff Kingsbury got hired by the Arizona Cardinals. All right. And for me, we need to see some type of validation as to why that hire went through. Kyler Murray is a young ascending player. I think he's going to continue to ascend. But Cliff Kingsbury, he's got to show some return on this investment by the Arizona Cardinals organization by getting this Cardinals team into the postseason.
I think there's a lot of truth in what Damian Woody says. And think about it this way. The Arizona Cardinals kind of, in a way, stuck their neck out by hiring Cliff Kingsbury. It was a very unusual hire.
It was so odd because he was hired to be an offensive coordinator.
Yes.
And at USC.
Yes.
And they took a guy with no NFL head coaching experience who just got fired as a college coach without
a
really great record.
Alma mater, no less.
And he went from being like the offensive coordinator at USC, we're going to give you the reins.
You talk about failing upwards, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Cliff Kingsbury, and so to me, that's another lens in which to look at this through. Man, if I'm the Cardinals organization, I could say to Cliff, we took a gigantic chance on you. You were fired as a head coach in college. You were sub-500 as a coach in college. You were an offensive coordinator at USC. We decided to make you a head coach in the NFL. We stuck our necks out for something that was way outside of the box, and if after 3 years that doesn't result in a playoff appearance, they might feel compelled to go with something a little more conventional. Cliff was a very unconventional hire as head coach, and you give something that radical 3 years to succeed, and if it doesn't, that to me might be the big reason
why we
changed time.
Michael Bidwell joined us after the hiring of Cliff, and we asked, why? Why a guy with no experience? He said, listen. And he told this to us on the show. He said, what you don't want to do is, he goes, you want to hire the offensive coordinator, because here's what happens. If you hire a defensive guy and then that coordinator does a really good job, somebody's going to hire him to be the head coach in the next year. So you're going to hire an offensive coordinator. He's going to do a great job and somebody's going to steal him to be their head coach in a year. You might as well hire that guy to be your head coach.
Yeah. And that goes back to what Damian Woody just said a second ago. I need to see why Cliff was hired in the first place. Why was Cliff hired in the first place? Exactly what you just said a second ago. Be an offensive genius. Now, last year, they started off playing really good offensive football. Go look at the last 7 games. That offense fell apart. Was that because Kyler was hurt? Maybe. And that, again, goes back to the beginning of this conversation. How do they miss the playoffs? You know, are there injuries? Does that force them to adjust on the fly? Does that buy Cliff Kingsbury an extra year? Because if there are no significant injuries like that, Cliff Kingsbury needs to show everybody why they felt compelled to give him the head coaching job, not just the offensive coordinator job, because he's this guru. He's this genius when it comes to that. That's the version they need to see this year. Text the word Sparky to 620-620. Kick off the college football season with your favorite Arizona sports host and special guests for our Valley Virtual Series. It's presented by 72 Sold, where you can get a higher price. Plus, we're giving away college football tickets as well. Text the word Sparky to 620-620. Caleb Smith suspended 10 games for the use of a foreign substance in his glove. What are the chances he wins his appeal? And what will the Diamondbacks do if he doesn't? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball is 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. We're checking in on the D-backs as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck, brought to you by Sonic. This is how we Sonic. Stop by your nearest location today for the new Sonic Crave Cheeseburger for a limited time only at Sonic. And by Trajan Wealth. Get your retirement on deck with Trajan Wealth, your local trusted financial fiduciary. TrajanWealth.com.
All right, well, preview today's game, which can be heard on ESPN 620 in about 40 minutes from right now in a moment, and talk about what happened last night. Diamondbacks bullpen blew it again after a real good start by Humberto Mejia. But the news of the day when it comes to the Arizona Diamondbacks happened on the Caleb Smith front. He has been suspended 10 games and fined an undisclosed amount by MLB for violating their foreign substance policy. His glove was sent to New York, and the announcement was made today that they didn't like what they find. They didn't say specifically, I don't think, what it was that they found in the glove. But they found enough there to basically say, yep, you were using a foreign substance in your glove. You're suspended for 10 games. He is appealing that, and as such, he can continue to pitch while they hear the appeal. But if he loses that appeal, he will have to sit out 10 games, and the Diamondbacks will not be able to replace him on the roster. That's kind of the team punishment in addition to the individual punishment as well in a situation like this.
He was adamant that he didn't do it. I mean, he pounded the table. This is my reputation. If I was cheating,
I got it here. You want to play it?
Go ahead, play it.
They said that they found something on it. That's because there's nothing on it. If I was cheating and I got caught, I would own up to it. But I wasn't cheating. I'm really pissed. I'm not stupid. The main two things that they check are your glove and your hat. If I'm using something, which I wasn't, I wouldn't put it in my glove or my hat. I mean, that's just ignorant.
He sounded so convincing.
Sure did.
He sounded convincing. Like, okay, yeah, I buy that. You're not stupid. You're not going to put something on your glove or your hat because you know they're checking your glove or your hat. You're going to put it in your belt. You're going to put it somewhere where then I buy that. I mean, I kind of buy that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then today it comes out and he's suspended for 10 games for having an illegal substance on his glove.
They obviously found something.
So was this his Rafael Palmeiro moment? They found something. They found something.
Yeah.
I mean, did he have something somewhere else, then put it on the ball, and then when the ball came back to him, it hit the glove?
I don't know.
Did he have something on the bottom of his shoe, and then he put it on the ball, and then the ball ended up back in his glove, and there was still something on the glove when it... I don't know.
We talked about this a week ago, and I remember very distinctly you bringing up the Rafael Palmeiro thing, because in the moment, you want so badly professional athletes, and I'm not yet lumping Caleb Smith into this conversation, but just our history of professional athletes when they get caught cheating, whether it's Rafael Palmeiro, whether it's Mark McGwire, whether it's Marion Jones, whether it's Ryan Braun, I could go on and on and on. Their defenses are so passionate. Their arguments are so enhanced. They're just so defiant about it. Your natural reaction is to believe them. Oh, man, how could you get all that fired up about it and you're being lying to us? And what do we find out time and time again? Yes, you were lying to us. Yes, you were throwing FedEx drivers under the bus, or you were pointing your finger at Congress, or you were claiming you don't know how to speak English, or you were saying, I'm not here to talk about the past. I mean, every other cheap, flimsy dime store excuse that has been used in the past, and you quickly come to realize it's all just a big, giant lie to save your ego and save your reputation. And so when you hear Caleb Smith
man, he's passionate. He's fired up. Man, what am I, stupid? I'm not going to put it there. Of course I'm not going to put it there. We've been burned by this before, and I remember I'm just going to wait and not reserve any judgment. I'm going to reserve having judgment on this until more facts come out, because I've been burned on this one before where I've believed professional athletes, and it just turns out they were just lying to protect their own past
and their own ego.
And
listen, Torrey Lovello, you know, came out when he was on with us. I believe the players, and we don't have anybody in here that's cheating. And, you know, at that point, I kind of went back at him for that.
Yeah.
I had a conversation with him a couple minutes ago, and he expressed his desire to appeal it. And I'm going to stand by him. I've been saying that from the very beginning. He's a very open, honest, upstanding guy. And if he was cheating, he would tell people he was cheating. He'd be the first one to admit guilt. But he is dug in and standing by the idea that he was just doing things normally, as he usually does. And his appeal, hopefully he'll be able to get his word out.
So you asked him, does that mean you're saying you think baseball got it wrong with Caleb Smith?
No, I'm not going to say Major League Baseball got it wrong. I just want to say that it's still under investigation and it's appeal process. We'll hopefully get some facts out on the table and clear things up. And, you know, you're right, Gambo. Look, it is what it is. The facts are the facts. They reviewed the glove and they determined that there was a foreign substance on it. There's no denying that. But there's so much gray area in this new rule that it might leave us a little bit confused in certain areas at certain times with certain things that are happening, natural things that are happening during the course of the game. You can see what Caleb does. You know, he definitely picks up the rosin bag before he throws his first pitch, and he gets it in all the places that he's allowed to get it, you know, on his wrist. And then he goes to work, and this is, you know, just a situation where there was a couple spots that were found on his glove that were shown to be suspicious, and that's what I'm going to take it as right now. And you know, I know he's going to appeal and put together the best appeal process that he possibly can, and hopefully we get better news than this current 10 game suspension.
Yeah, listen, here's the truth. The Diamondbacks right now at this point have a cheater on their roster. Okay, that's according to Major League Baseball. They suspended him for cheating. Now, if he appeals it and he can win it, well, then you'll take that away. But it's unfair to say we don't have any cheaters. Like we because you do. I mean, you just got a guy got like, it's black and white. Caleb Smith is suspended. Why is he suspended? Because you didn't like his beard? Because his beard was weird and his stash was trash? I mean, what reason was he suspended? He got suspended for cheating. So we can't say everybody's good, everybody's clean, nobody's cheating. We there's a player suspended for cheating.
Yeah.
Like, unless you appeal it and you win that appeal, then you can make the argument that, okay, we won the appeal, we don't have a player cheating. But as of right now, today, it's hard to make that argument.
Today's game and the pitching matchup for it is brought to you by the Berg Simpson Law Firm. When the game is on the line and you've been injured, nobody matches up to the Berg Simpson Law Firm. Visit BergSimpson.com. That's BURGSimpson.com. Good lawyers changing lives for the Pittsburgh Pirates, who won last night. JT Brubaker gets the start. He's 4-13 with a 5.49 ERA. Madison Bumgarner gets the start for the Arizona Diamondbacks since coming off of the injured list. Madison Bumgarner is 3-2 with a 1.93 ERA.
He's just been absolutely outstanding. He surrendered 2 earned runs or fewer in each of his 7 starts since coming off the injured list. They're 5-1 in his last 6 starts. He's pitched at least 6 2/3 innings in each of those 5 starts. And in his last 7 outings, the ERA at 1.93 is just remarkable. So he has done a really good job of giving them a chance to win every time he takes the ball every 5th day.
Your MLB standings, they're brought to you by PNC Bank, financial tools and tech to help make things easier. The San Francisco Giants remain atop the National League West with an 80-44 record. The LA Dodgers find themselves 2.5 games back. The San Diego Padres, 13 games back. But when you look at the overall standings, the upside down, if you will, the Baltimore Orioles right now have a 2.5 game lead, for lack of a better word, over the Arizona Diamondbacks for the worst record in Major League Baseball. And with that, with this game coming up against the Pirates tonight, let's get you a key to today's game.
Listen, man, I need you to be the key master.
I am the key master.
D-backs Keys to the Game, brought to you by Sell to Sands. Take away the hassle of selling a vehicle yourself. Go to sell2sands.com today.
Well, I could go with the seventh and eighth innings where the Diamondbacks have given up more runs in those innings than any team in baseball by a lot, but I'm going to go with this. JT Brubaker's allowed 28 home runs. That's the second most in the National League. He's given up 21 total runs in his last three starts. The Pirates have just won one of his last 12 starts. The long ball will be the key to the game. The Arizona Diamondbacks in the long ball against JT Brubaker, who's given up 28 home runs.
I don't know. I kind of like the seventh and eighth inning
number.
Yeah,
it's a good one.
204 runs allowed in the seventh and eighth inning. That's 47 more than the Baltimore Orioles, by far the most in Major League Baseball. That's, don't give up runs in the seventh and the eighth. How about that?
Yeah.
Let's go with that one. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, and by the way, that game can be heard over on ESPN 620. The Pac-12 is going to make the decision as to whether or not they want to expand their membership by the end of this week. So if the conference decides to take on some new schools, who should they be? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo show. And that's the part of Sarah's Sports Center update we want to talk about here as we welcome you back to the Burns and Gambo show. You heard her say it just a moment ago. According to The Athletic, and I believe it was, I can't remember who it was at The Athletic. Was it Nicole Auerbach? Thank you, Nicole Auerbach, who had basically said, quote, this is George Kliavkov, we're going to announce our decision about whether or not to expand membership before the end of the week. Close quote. And then further reporting by Heather Dinich at ESPN, basically the same thing, before the end of the week, and that the decision has been run on a parallel path to the conversations with the Big Ten and the ACC. So I'm quoting our guy John Wilner on Twitter now. I'm talking about whether the Pac-10 is going to expand or not. It's going to announce its decision on whether it intends to expand before the end of the week. John Wilner tweeted out, they just announced an alliance designed to provide stability. Wonder which way it'll go, he had to say, suggesting that because the Pac-12 is in a much more stable position now because of this alliance that it has, that maybe that means they'll be more inclined to add somebody via expansion?
It's going to be very difficult to do. But here's the thing. First of all, the Pac-12, number one, geographically just challenged, right? I mean, not like the Midwest or the South. They, you know, there's not a lot of teams out west. So geography is an issue. Number two, let's remember who's making the decisions on expansion. It's not George, how do you pronounce his last name?
Kliavkov.
It's not, George isn't making the decision. He's not, it's not the ADs. The ADs are not making the decision. The presidents and the chancellors will make this decision. And what's their number one concern, presidents and chancellors?
Academics. Sure.
BYU's out. They're just, you know, their academic reputation is not the best. It's not terrible, but it's not like it probably wouldn't fit in with the Pac-12. So look, they don't play on Sundays. So you're not just accepting football, you're accepting all of the sports, and BYU doesn't play on Sundays. I don't think BYU gets in.
Yeah.
Boise, I mean, you've already got some tough markets here that don't give you anything, right? Pullman and Corvallis, you don't get anything out of that. What is Boise going to give you? And academically, I don't think Boise fits. So other schools out west, Fresno, San Diego State, UNLV, Nevada, I'm not sure you get anything out of those schools. So now you go to Texas and Oklahoma and that area, and you try to see, this, can anything work in that area that matches the academics that you would need to make acceptance into the Pac-12?
George Kliavkov, this was him on July 27th after Texas and Oklahoma went to the SEC, the day that kind of shook college football to its core. And he said, look, we don't have to expand in the Pac-12.
We don't think there's any risk at staying at 12 teams. With respect to bars, that is something we're going to be discussing with our presidents and chancellors. As you know, we take into account athletics, academics, cultural fit, all very important to us. But there is no set bar that anyone needs to clear.
Yeah, he didn't even want to get into specifics when he talks about academic requirements. I mean, I agree with you. It's something that's going to be largely considered when you're talking about the school presidents. But the commissioner of the conference says there are no specific requirements academically when we're talking about expansion.
We're not going to talk about any individual school. We're not going to, you know, negotiate in the media. That's just not the way we do business. There is no preset requisite about a specific accreditation. We're very proud of the schools that do have that accreditation. within our school. And you may remember when Utah joined us, they did not have that accreditation, and they received that accreditation after they joined us. But that's not there's no prerequisites.
And you know, it's funny. I'm thinking about Wilner's tweet now in a totally brand new way. And I think I might have misinterpreted his sarcasm. Sarcasm is very hard to read on Twitter. So here's the Pac-12 and the ACC and the Big Ten, and they just announced this alliance, right? Okay, they're working together in the future, and that might involve scheduling, and that certainly means they're going to be voting together, like a voting block now when it comes to the future of college football. Now that the Pac-12 has achieved that alliance with the Big Ten and the ACC, okay, do they really need to expand at this point? Is there really any, you know, expansion? Expansion is to ensure your survival. Expansion is to make sure, okay, we've got the right schools in our conference to make sure they can't do away with us.
Right.
We remain relevant, all right? The Pac-12 just entered an alliance with the Big Ten, the second most relevant conference in college football, and the ACC, which has two of the most relevant schools in college football, in Clemson and Florida State. They don't really need to expand to become more relevant. They just ensured their relevance by forming this alliance with these two conferences. I don't know if expansion really needs to happen now for the Pac-12 because of what they just did today. Does that make any sense?
It makes a lot of sense. I would lean towards they don't expand, because again, when you start to look, you know, the geography issue is a main one. There's not a lot of teams out west like there are in the Midwest of the South. The presidents and chancellors are going to make the decision. They have the final say on expansion, not the AD, not the commissioner. And strength of academics is a big deal. Who has the academic strength that the Pac-12 was looking for? What could they add as far as television value? You know, when you start to look at certain markets, like again, like we said with Pullman and Corvallis, they already have a couple of markets that don't give you anything.
Yeah.
You're not getting anything out of Pullman. You're just not. Sorry, it's not a big draw. Hey, we got the Pullman TV market, milk. We got the Corvallis TV. It doesn't do anything. So who could you add?
If you're going to look at it that way, the school that pops to mind the most.
Oklahoma State.
TCU. Mm. Dallas-Fort Worth.
Yes.
The Dallas-Fort Worth market. It's the first school that pops to my mind.
You would have to look east. You're not going to add Fresno, Nevada, UNLV, San Diego State. If they expand, it's likely that they would expand in that area. Texas, Oklahoma, yeah. Nebraska. You'd look in those areas to expand. It would be east. It wouldn't be west. It'd be east.
So you just look through the Big 12, for lack of a better word, leftovers. And no disrespect to Oklahoma State, I think the two that stand out to me the most are TCU because of its proximity to Dallas, and Baylor because of their success. And Baylor's had success. They're not a huge draw, but they're a draw. They've done enough the last few years to warrant some eyeballs on them. Those are the two that make the most sense to me if it happens. My impression is that it won't, because the Pac-12 just ensured its relevance by making sure it was aligned with the Big Ten and the ACC.
So you don't think any expansion?
I don't think that's my hunch. I don't think they will. Text us your thoughts on expansion in the Pac-12. You can text us on the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. A lot of speculation coming from the East Coast. Chandler Jones and how he'd be the perfect fit for the injury-riddled Jets. But at this point, would there be any way the Cardinals trade their best pass rusher? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
One, two, three, four.
John Gambadoro, Dave Burns, Burns and Gambo Show. Yesterday, we were talking about the New York Jets and whether they would make a play for Jordan Hicks or not with the injuries that they've suffered at inside linebacker. The Jets have been kind of a train wreck this preseason so far with some of the injuries that they've suffered. And apparently, over the weekend, after Adam Schefter tweeted out, quote, "After losing Carl Lawson, the season-ending torn Achilles, the Jets are now looking for ways to acquire a pass rusher to help fill the void. A trade before the season is being explored," close quote. You better believe it didn't take very long for those Twitter internet sleuths to go, "Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, yeah.
The Jets need a pass
rusher. Everywhere."
And a pass rusher for the Arizona Cardinals asked for a trade at some point during this offseason. Go get Chandler Jones.
Oh, yeah, go get Chandler Jones. Go get Chandler Jones off the Cardinals roster to the point where not one, not two,
not one, not two, not three,
not four, multiple websites were, oh, yeah, Chandler Jones would be a great fit with the New York Jets.
Okay, so a lot of these websites, I mean, I don't know any of them, right? The Spun, Chandler Jones makes sense for the Jets. Sports Naught, Chandler Jones would excel with the Jets. The Jet Press, Chandler Jones would help the New York Jets. But here's one I'll talk about. SI.com, Sports Illustrated, Max Goodman. That in mind, Jones has the potential to be a great fit for New York. He could pass down his knowledge to the younger members of the defensive line, filling in seamlessly under head coach Robert Saleh, while serving as the premier pass rusher, exactly what the Jets are missing now that Lawson's out for the year. Depending on how you look at it, there's even an argument that Jones would be an upgrade from Lawson. He was due for a massive season before the injury, but Lawson has never had more than 8.5 sacks in a single season. Jones is only one season removed from setting a career high with 19 sacks. So Sports Illustrated's Max Goodman makes an argument there. A lot of other websites, you know, you just look at what could fit, what could fit. Sports Illustrated saying Chandler Jones would be a great fit. Here's the thing. I don't see any scenario in which, like, you're basic. Again, does that make you trading Chandler Jones for a future draft pick? Does that make you a better team right now?
Of course not.
The Cardinals, it'd be very unlikely that they would make a move that would not, that would make them worse. Trading Chandler Jones makes you worse. You lose a premier pass rusher who is very dedicated to having a great year and being able to earn a lot more money in this league. I mean, he might have 15 sacks. He's going to be very motivated. Why would you trade him for draft picks? You're not projected to win four games. If you had a really bad team and you're like, hey, we're not going to win any games. The future is what we're looking at. Okay, that makes sense. You're a bad football team. You're looking at the future. Draft picks. I get it. The Cardinals are looking at the playoffs. They went out and got J.J. Watt. Why would you go get J.J. Watt and then trade Chandler Jones? It doesn't compute. It doesn't make any sense.
100% agree. It's a different situation with Chandler Jones and Jordan Hicks. So Jordan Hicks, if everything goes according to plan, Jordan Hicks is an extra piece, is a spare part, you know, that if everything goes according to plan, Jordan Hicks won't play that big of a role for the Arizona Cardinals. So you can at least have a conversation about moving him for a draft asset, as we were briefly yesterday. Chandler Jones is not a spare part. Chandler Jones is a very essential part of the mechanism to a team that we just got done talking about less than an hour ago. Kind of needs to make the playoffs if people want to keep their jobs around there, right? At least that's the belief going into the season. You want to talk about trading a spare part? Okay, let's have a conversation. Chandler Jones is not a spare part on the 2021 Arizona Cardinals. He is a very necessary element to how things are going to work there. Yep. And if this team is going to have the bounce back, not the bounce back, but the steady improvement that they need and get where people are expecting them to go, Chandler Jones is going to be a part of this roster. He ain't for sale. I hate to break everyone's heart at the Spun and Sports Knot and the Jet Press and Larry Brown Sports and all these other websites that are saying Chandler Jones to the Jets, that should be.
Yeah.
It completely ignores the other half of the equation, and that's the Cardinals really feel like they have to make the playoffs this year. And Chandler Jones is one of their, what, seven
yeah.
best players, eight best players, five best players, however you want to look at it?
You know,
not happening.
And I'll just give you an example. Like, when I look at trade deadline deals for teams, right, when I look at trade deadline deals, I'll just take the Diamondbacks for example. Years the Diamondbacks are in contention and they need a relief pitcher, I don't look for teams that are doing well to go get the relief. I look for teams that stink.
Of course.
Look at the Pirates. Where are the Marlins? Where are the Tigers? Where are the bad teams that would trade those guys? When you're looking in the beginning of the season right now, it's going to be hard to make a trade because so many teams think they have a chance. So many teams think they have a chance. The Cardinals, this is a team that expects to go to the playoffs. You're not going to trade Chandler Jones for even a second-round pick. You might not even trade him for a first-round pick right now. Because you hurt yourself this season. So it's going to be difficult for the Jets to make a trade with a team that has aspirations of challenging for a playoff spot right now. Those teams aren't going to do that.
Buda Baker met with the media today, and he was talking about Chandler Jones. And he was even asked why Chandler Jones wasn't in this year's
NFL.com, NFL Network, top 100. Here's what Buddha said.
I mean, he was hurt. So, of course, when a guy gets hurt, you know, especially early in the season, of course, he's probably not going to be in that top 100, but he'll be there after this year for sure.
Is that the type of thing that'll keep, I mean, that'll drive him? Because we know that he uses everything as motivation.
Yeah. For me, I don't think so. What drives Chan is just Chan trying to be the best he can be, trying to break his own records. You know, he's not really into, you know, other people's acknowledgments or accolades and stuff like that. He just worries about himself and puts the team first, and, you know, whatever's best for the team, he tries to do, and he does a great job at it.
Speaking of Buddha today, he was asked about the fact that on that NFL top 100 list, he moved up like 87 or something. So it wasn't 87 spots. It was a lot. It was a big jump from, I think he went from 87 to 19, the 19th best player in the NFL, according to a vote by his peers.
And he's still not that happy about
it. He's not. He's not that happy about that, and he's not that happy about his Madden rating either.
Ah, man, I would say both of them are a little inaccurate. Madden rating, I should be 99, I feel like, and I should be in top 5 in the top 100. But at the end of the day, it's a blessing to see what these guys, you know, put me at, and it's a great starting point. But for me, I'm just trying to work on getting better each and every day, and all that stuff will take care of itself.
It was a 78 spot jump for Buddha. He went from 97th last year in the player vote to 19th this year.
Man, what a player.
Yeah.
He's so respected. And he speaks so eloquently. He's such a leader. He's going to go, he has a chance to have a really special Cardinals career.
He does.
Great player.
Oh yeah, he does.
Great player.
And when you see the price tag of safeties going on,
I know, the Adams
the
deal
league,
that just went down.
The Adams
right?
deal that just went down, and all the safeties who are due for contract extensions with Tyrann Mathieu, by the way, being at the top of that list. The Arizona Cardinals is kind of like the deal they signed DJ Humphrey to a couple years ago.
Yep.
You look at where the prices are heading on that safety market, and they got themselves
a deal. 4 years, 59. He's not an unrestricted free agent until 2025. So you got him for this season, you got him for next season, you got him for the season after that, you got him for the season after that. He doesn't hit unrestricted free agency. It was a great deal. It was a great deal for the Cardinals. 4 years, $59 million for Buddha.
You can text the word Sparky to 620-620. Kick off the college football season with your favorite Arizona sports hosts and special guests. It's our Valley Virtual Series. It's presented by 72 Sold, where you can get a higher price. We'll also be giving away college football tickets. You can text the word Sparky to 620-620. The Pac-12, Big Ten, ACC, they have all officially entered into an alliance with each other. Exactly. Does that mean, and how is it going to impact ASU? We'll talk about it coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.